This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين, صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, the lesson actually is in English. We spoke in the previous lesson about the virtue of i'tikaf and some of the rulings related to al-i'tikaf. And subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us because the last 10 nights of Ramadan have begun. And this is what the true believers yearn for in the month of Ramadan. They seek out the last 10 nights to dedicate themselves to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the time that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exert himself like no other time of the year. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يجتهد في العشر الأواخر ما لا يجتهد في غيرها, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would exert himself in the last 10 nights of Ramadan in a manner that he would not do so at any other time of the year. So if we look at this as a race to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a race to His mercy, then this is the last lap. This is the last time that we are going around the track, and a race is always won at the end. This is when a person can determine to see how much he has left in him, how much he really wants to win, and how much he is scared of being a loser. And this is the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the one who makes it to Ramadan but is not forgiven. The one who makes it to Ramadan and he is able to fast in the month of Ramadan and Allah blesses him to make it to Ramadan and he's not forgiven of his sins, then this person is a loser. And Jibreel alayhi salam made dua against this person, and he said, may Allah distance the one who makes it to Ramadan and is not forgiven. And he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say Ameen. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Ameen. Because a person who knows the virtue of this month, and especially the last 10 days, and doesn't strive for it, then that means he really doesn't want it. And that person who doesn't want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turns his back on the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed a loser. If we look at it, for example, just the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stands on Laylatul Qadr out of true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has prepared for the believers and hoping for His reward, then he will have all of his previous sins forgiven. Either the person who doesn't seek out Laylatul Qadr after knowing that, then he's one of two people. Yani he either doesn't believe what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said and he's a loser as a result, or he really doesn't feel like he needs to be forgiven of his sins and therefore he's a loser. And we'll go into a little bit more detail about that inshallah as we talk about Laylatul Qadr bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So these last 10 nights are critical because they are the seal of our deeds in this month. They're the last things that we do. And as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said al-a'malu bil khawatim, that actions are how they are concluded. Yani they're going to be judged based on how they are concluded. So we need to be very keen on making sure that we conclude the month of Ramadan in a fashion that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second reason why these last 10 are so important is because in them there is the night known as Laylatul Qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated an entire surah in the Quran to Laylatul Qadr. And I'm sure all of you have heard the surah and know the surah and have memorized the surah. But I still think it's important to go over some of the meanings. If not, just to discuss what does Laylatul Qadr mean. Because in English, a lot of times they translate it as the night of power, or the night of decree, or the night of... So what is Laylatul Qadr? What does it mean? And what does this surah entail? What is it talking about? And then we want to talk about, after discussing this surah, inshallah ta'ala, talk about some of the other virtues of Laylatul Qadr, some of the mistakes that many people make in Laylatul Qadr, or seeking out Laylatul Qadr, and then a practical plan to take advantage of Laylatul Qadr, inshallah ta'ala. When it comes to Laylatul Qadr, what's the first thing that you think of? Or what's the first thing that a lot of people think of is when? Huh? Is it the 27th night? Is it the 23rd night? Can it be on even nights? Is it always the same? That's the first thing that most people think about when they think Laylatul Qadr, 27th night. You know, if you were to play that game, you know, I say something and then you say the first thing that comes to your mind, then that would probably be, say, you say Laylatul Qadr, people say 27th. So, what we need to look at here is that the proper focus to have? But when we look at the ayat in the Quran that discuss Laylatul Qadr, there's a different focus, actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 97th surah of the Quran, He begins it by saying, "Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr." Alright? And the word, as it comes in the Quran, Laylatul Qadr, the Qadr is spelled Qaf Dal Ra. Alright? The Dal has a sukun on it, meaning that it's not pronounced. It's not pronounced except for the first part of the letter. It doesn't have a vowel on it. So you say Qadr. Alright? But you can also say Qadr with the Dal, with the Fetha on the Dal. So it's pronounced both ways, but they have different meanings. With the sukun on it, when it doesn't have a diacritical mark or the vowel, what it means is that it's like they say in Arabic, "Huwa rajulun 'azimul qadr." Yani, he is someone who has a very high status. All right. So when we say Laylatul Qadr, it is it's an honorable night, a night of status and honor and dignity. That's on the one hand. All right. But the word qadr with the fatha on the dal. So you would write it in English like Q-A-D-A-R. That word is referring to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that Allah azza wa jal kataba, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kataba maqadir al-khala'iq qabla an yakhluq as-samawati wal-ard bi 50 alf sana. That the Allah azza wa jal wrote the decree of all of the creation all human beings before they were created, or before He created the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. And not to go into a deep discussion about Qadr, but we do need to understand some points here. What does that mean that Allah wrote it down? Does it mean that Allah has forced everyone to do what they're doing? He's forced the kuffar to be kuffar? Or what exactly does it mean? Qadr means, or has four different stages. There's Allah Azza wa Jal's knowledge, His ilm. He knew everything that people were going to do before He created them. Alright? And that's not a concept that we should look at as being something that's strange. First of all, Allah is Al-Alim and He knows everything. Anyway. And so He wrote those things down. Doesn't mean that He forced anyone to do anything. The same way that you may know someone very well, or as an example, you know someone very well. You know your child, for example. And if you give them a choice between chocolate and vegetables, they're going to choose the chocolate over the vegetables. And you know that because you know your own children. All right? Or you know someone else. If you give them a choice, they're going to do whatever it is based on the choice that they are given. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't force anyone to do anything. But He knows the choices that they're going to make, provided the circumstances are based on the circumstances that they have in front of them. And so Allah Azza wa Jal knows that. So that's the first level, if we look at, of the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He wrote that down, Al-Kitabah. He wrote those things down in a preserved book or a preserved tablet known as what? Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. He wrote that down in Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. And Allah Azza wa Jal willed those things to happen. There's nothing that happens. And we may look at those things as being good, or we may look at them as being bad. But Allah Azza wa Jal has wisdom in everything that He has decreed. And so He allows those things to happen, and He wills for those things to happen, and nothing happens outside of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then He creates. Meaning that He creates the circumstances that bring those things into existence. This is the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean in relationship to Laylat al-Qadr? To Laylat al-Qadr. Because they say, as the scholars say, there is what is known as Taqdeer Sanawi. There is an annual decree. But Allah Azza wa Jalla already wrote these things down 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So what is the benefit of having an annual decree? The benefit is that the angels don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. This is Allah Azza wa Jalla's knowledge. And it is knowledge of the unseen. And the angels don't know that until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs them. And so on Laylatul Qadr, Allah Azza wa Jal decrees. Yani, He informs the angels of His decree for that year. Because the angels have jobs that they do. There is an angel that takes the souls, the angel of death. There is an angel that breathes into the fetus and brings it life and writes down its rizq, yani its provisions for the lifetime of that individual. Writes down whether it is going to be successful or unsuccessful. The angels bring down the rain by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for the year, for the entire year, that is indicated and revealed to the angels on Laylatul Qadr. And so this is why it is also known as the night of decree. And I hope that point is clear. That we don't think that there's a new decree that happens on Laylatul Qadr, but the angels are informed and it is revealed to them on Laylatul Qadr. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah." We sent it down in a blessed night. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. In that night, all of the ordainment or the matters, the wise matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are ordained. Okay, so they are revealed to the angels in that particular night, that is Laylatul Qadr. And if we look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, He says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن. The month of Ramadan in which the Quran was sent down. And in this ayah He says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. We sent it down, يعني the Quran, in Laylatul Qadr. So that means that Laylatul Qadr is in Ramadan. And if we put the two ayahs together, then we understand from that that Laylatul Qadr is in Ramadan. But here's another point. We know that what were the first ayat revealed in the Quran? Huh? In the back, what? اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Okay, nice. What was the last ayah revealed in the Quran? Huh? لا مش اليوم اكملت لكم دينكم. Huh? I can't hear you. Somebody else say it because I can't hear. What surah? What surah? You said Surah Al-Mulk? And Baqarah, hey, yes, yes. Sahih. No, مش آخر النساء. And Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. And have taqwa. Fear the day that you will return back to Allah. Right. What was the time span between the revelation of those first ayah and the last ayah that was revealed? 23 years. Right. So what does that mean? The Quran was revealed in Ramadan. We know that it was revealed over a time period. It wasn't just revealed in Ramadan. So what does that mean? The scholars of tafsir, amongst them the Sahaba like Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and others, mentioned that the Quran was first revealed, yani sent from the Lawh al-Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah, the house of glory, which is in the lowest heaven. It was revealed at one time, the entire Quran, at one time, or sent down at one time from Allah Azza wa Jalla, from the Lawh al-Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah, which is the house of glory in the lowest heavens. And from there, Jibreel would intermittently reveal it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gradually over that period of 23 years. So in this night, in Laylatul Qadr, it was sent down by Allah Azza wa Jalla to the lowest heavens. It is also said, but this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this is not the correct opinion, that initially when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was on Laylatul Qadr. Initially, when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it was on Laylatul Qadr. But that seems to be incorrect. Most of the historians take the opinion that Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either on the 17th of Ramadan or the 24th of Ramadan. So when we look at this, when we look at Laylatul Qadr, then we have these two meanings that we're looking at. And scholars have mentioned some other meanings. Perhaps we'll come across them, maybe we won't. But the two most important meanings are that, number one, that it is a Layla Sharifa. It is a noble and honorable night. On one hand, and on the other hand, it is the night of decree, in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals His decree to the angels. So we want to look at some of the unique characteristics of Laylatul Qadr. Some of its unique characteristics. The first thing is that in Laylatul Qadr, the Quran was revealed to mankind. And the Quran is one of the greatest gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. And one of the greatest, if not the greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. When you look at Surah Ar-Rahman, the ayat that always repeats itself in Surah Ar-Rahman is فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of your Lord's favors, yani you, mankind and jinn, which of your Lord's favors will you deny? So Surah Ar-Rahman is about what? It's discussing the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon mankind and jinn. What's the second ayah in Ar-Rahman? After Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions His beautiful name, Ar-Rahman, the merciful. What is the mercy? علم القرآن. That He taught the Quran. And so the Quran serves as, if not the greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind, then one of the greatest mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or one of the greatest manifestations of His mercy to mankind. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءِ. We send down from the Quran that which is a cure. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Oh mankind, not just the believers here. Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing mankind. We have sent down a maw'idha, an instruction and a reminder from your Lord. And a cure for that which is in the hearts. Yani every disease in the heart can be cured by the Quran. And so one of the most unique aspects of Laylatul Qadr is that it was the night in which the Quran was revealed. And this Quran, as we know, is a great instruction for mankind and a great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second unique characteristic of Laylatul Qadr is the second ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what could possibly allow you to know what Laylatul Qadr is? Yani, mankind will never be able to grasp the great reality of Laylatul Qadr. And notice in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, does not say, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَتَى لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Huh? What will allow you to know when Laylatul Qadr is? No. What Laylatul Qadr is? Because the focus is not when, in this surah, the focus is what. So that Laylatul Qadr becomes something that the believer strives for and yearns for and desires. Not necessarily when. And we'll talk about when, inshallah ta'ala. But the first thing is what? What is Laylatul Qadr? So this is the second unique quality of Laylatul Qadr, is that we will never be able to really fully grasp the great meanings of Laylatul Qadr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what will convey to you what Laylatul Qadr is. And as a result, I think that we should move away from translating Laylatul Qadr as the night of power. As the night of power. Because it doesn't carry the meaning. We should leave it as Laylatul Qadr, really. And if we want to explain it to people that may be new Muslims or non-Muslims, for example, then we can tell them that it is an honorable night. It's a night of honor and a night of decree, for example. The third unique quality of Laylatul Qadr is the third ayah. What's the third ayah? Laylatul Qadri. Everybody, this is something that the kids that are 4 years old memorize. Huh? Laylatul Qadr, khayrun min alfi shahr. So, Laylatul Qadr is greater than 1,000 months. Let that sink in for a minute. A lot of people come and they say, yeah, 1,000 months, that's 83 years and 4 months. So if you do, no. Allah said it's greater than 1,000 months, not equivalent to 1,000 months. And this has two meanings. Perhaps it could carry more than one meaning. Perhaps it means 1,000 months, is the way, 83 years and 4 months, and it's better than that. But a lot of times, in many languages, including Arabic, 1,000 is used to mean something that is infinite or uncountable. Alright? So it could carry that meaning. That there is no limit to the virtue of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Laylatul Qadr. So it's definitely at least 1,000 months. Or definitely at least more than 1,000 months. And it could be an infinite. Yani, it could be limitless, the bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with when we think about the worship that is done on that particular night on Laylatul Qadr. And so, what does it mean that it's better than 1,000 months? Well, the scholars have said, meaning that the worship that is done in Laylatul Qadr has more virtue than the worship that would have been done in 1,000 months, that same deed. Let's take a step back. Let's think about it monetarily. $1 given on Laylatul Qadr is worth what? It's more than a dollar that would be given for 1,000 months. Okay, so that's 30,000, because 30 days in a month average. Okay, so better than giving $30,000 if you give what? $1 on that night. Tayyip. Let's look at it from a different perspective. And this is related to what we talked about earlier. And that is not being losers. Not being losers. We don't want to be a loser. We don't want to, if an employer was to tell his employee, or for example, if your boss told you just come to work for one day, okay, this next week, or 10 days make it, and if you come for that one day, what you'll get your regular salary, plus you'll get 1,000 times the salary that you would normally get in that particular day. Not 1,000 times, I'm fine. 1,000 months the salary that you... So basically, you would be set for the rest of your life for just going in for those 10 days. Meaning what? That a person who doesn't take advantage of that opportunity, say there were 5 people, right? And the boss said, listen, all of you guys, I have enough to go around. So anybody that comes for the next 10 days, all right, whatever you do in those 10 days, I'm going to, I'm going to multiply your salary and I'm going to do this and that for you. And People are going to find a way to sleep at work, sleep in the car, or whatever, so that there's no traffic on the way going back and forth, so that they make sure that they don't oversleep, so that they're going to figure out a way to be at work whenever the boss wants them there. All right? For that, for those 10 days. Okay. Let's transfer that. If only four of them showed up and the fifth one didn't show up, what would the four say about the guy that didn't come to work? Something's wrong with him. Either he doesn't believe the boss. The boss is pulling his leg. Yeah, he's lying. He's really just trying to get us to come in a little extra. So that's one thing. So he doesn't believe him. Or he's telling everybody, listen, I'm good. I've inherited, you know, millions from my father, and really I don't need to come and push myself extra for those 10 days. It's not important to me. One of the two. I mean, you really can't come up with another conclusion unless he died or he's sick or something like that. Like, the people who don't worship Allah, Laylatul Qadr, they're saying one of two things. The people who don't strive in the last 10 days, they're saying one of two things. Either we don't really believe that we're going to get this reward, or I'm okay. I'm all right. I've already been forgiven somehow, some way. I don't really need those extra deeds. And listen, Laylatul Qadr, I'm not going to go into one right this second, but we're talking, Laylatul Qadr is called Layla because it's in the night. It's the summertime. And look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the days are long, right, and you have to put forth some effort in fasting, you may get really thirsty or whatever, the nights are short, which means that you can take advantage of Laylatul Qadr. It's only 9 hours in the night right now, or something like that. 9 hours? Multiply that times 9, because it's either 9 or 10 nights. So 81 hours. You worship Allah. You strive. You do everything you can for 81 hours. And the reward is as if you have worshipped Allah for more than 83 years. Yani an hour for a year of reward. Do you get it? I mean, listen. We need to understand that this is the time to strive. This is the time of the year. If there was no other time, then this is that time to strive. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Laylatul Qadr. And we've read that. We've read that for years, and we've heard it for years. But do we really contemplate what that means? And how that knowledge of Laylatul Qadr should translate into action? Because that knowledge has to be a firm belief, and that belief needs to translate into action. If it doesn't translate into action, then there's something critically wrong. There's something wrong, either with the belief side, or with the belief in the truthfulness of the Quran, or there's something wrong with the belief that the reward that is related to it. Tell you, the fourth thing is the fourth ayah in this surah. And that is تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمَرٍ. That is the angels and the ruh, the spirit, which is Jibril by consensus of the scholars, and the spirit descend therein by the permission of their Lord جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ for every matter. And the scholars of tafsir have said a lot about what this ayah means. Even some of the tabi'een mentioned that. And there's a narration, there's actually a hadith, but I'm not aware of its authenticity. And that is that the angels that descend in that night are more than the grains of sand in the earth. And many of the scholars of tafsir have mentioned that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that the angels descend. Two things here. The first is that when the angels descend from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they descend with mercy, and they descend with His bounty, and they descend with security and peace for the believers. That's one aspect. The other aspect is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the angels, and He specified Jibril. Because Jibril, his most specific duty was what? Was to bring the revelation to the Anbiya. That was the most specific duty of Jibril, which means, and there are no more prophets or messengers after our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which means that there is no direct need for him to come to earth, because there is no more revelation. But so the fact that Jibril himself, yani the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's angels, comes down is a great indication of the importance of this night, of Laylatul Qadr. And just as the angels come down in this night, they come into the halaqat al-dhikr, yani the circles of knowledge, and they surround those circles, and the people that are sitting in those circles are enveloped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy as well. So, I mean, these are meanings that we need to be conscious of when we think about Laylatul Qadr. The fifth unique quality of Laylatul Qadr is the fifth ayah and the last ayah in Surah Al-Qadr, which is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Salamun hiya hatta matala' al-fajr. That peace it is until the break of dawn, or to the emergence of al-fajr. And the scholars have mentioned that there is peace because the angels have come down and they bring with them as-salam, yani they bring with them that peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the salam carries another meaning, which is feeling safe and feeling secure, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amount of people that He frees from the fire in that night of Laylatul Qadr, because every night in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has utaqa min al-nar, yani there are people that He frees from the fire, and even more Laylatul Qadr. And so there is a sense of security from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth virtue related to Laylatul Qadr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified for this night a surah in the Quran that will be read as long as the Quran is read, and that is preserved. And if, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles out things in the Quran, that indicates its importance. The seventh virtue related to Laylatul Qadr is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith that is collected by al-Bukhari, that whoever, yani man qama laylatul qadri imanan wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever stands on Laylatul Qadr, and he specified al-qiyam here, and we'll talk about that in a bit inshallah ta'ala, whoever stands on Laylatul Qadr imanan, that is that they are doing it out of faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what He has prepared for the believers, wahtisaban, they are seeking His reward in doing so, and only seeking the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will have all of their previous sins forgiven. The eighth and final thing that we'll mention is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it relates to the virtue of this night, is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He says, "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah," and this is the other reference that is made to Laylatul Qadr in the Quran, Surah Dukhan. "Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah," we have sent it down in a blessed night. And this is one of the meanings, mubarakah, from barakah, from barakah. That word barakah, do we know what it means? Because a lot of times we translate it as blessed, but don't really fully comprehend. What does barakah mean? What does it mean when something is blessed? Tayyib, huh? Istiqraruhu, okay, so it's firmly established, and what else? Wanumuhu, and that it develops and it grows. It develops and it grows. We need to understand this when we talk about barakah. What does it mean? Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said that tasahharu, eat suhoor, fa inna fi suhoori barakah, because there is barakah in the suhoor. What does that mean? It's blessed, okay? What does that mean? That it's blessed. It means that it is more than actually what it is. Yani a person may only have a small something for suhoor, some water, some dates, maybe some cereal, and they're able to make it 15, 16 hours. Because it's blessed. It has barakah. It's established. Yani what you have eaten is what you have eaten, but it actually grows. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it grow for you. Okay? Now on other times, your food may not be mubarak. So you might eat at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then at 10 o'clock, 10:30, you can't wait for your break from work so you can get something to eat. Or by lunchtime, you're starving. But in Ramadan, subhanAllah, you eat in the morning and you're okay. I mean, it gets you through the day. So, there's barakah. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا زَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. We have sent it down in a blessed night. The obvious blessing of this night, now there may be others that we don't know about even, but the obvious blessing is that whatever is done in it, by way of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is established and it grows, it's multiplied 1,000 times. Or as if you've done it for 1,000 months, and not 1,000 times, that's more. As if you have done it for 1,000. And first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every hasana that a person does, it's already multiplied 10 to 700 times. And then that in Laylatul Qadr is multiplied as if you have done that thing for 1,000 months. So this is why it's called Laylatul Mubarakah. فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that night, every precise matter is made distinct. Yani meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, that the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is transferred to the angels, so that they are aware of their duties for the following year. And this is not something that we should look at. We should say, oh, that's kind of strange. No. Every company, for example, has a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and then they have milestones. This is what needs to be done the first year, this is what needs to be done the second year, and then even back from that. This is what needs to be done the first month. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed everything that's going to happen. He wrote it down, He knows what's going to happen, and He wrote that down. And then that is revealed to the angels on this night, that is Laylat al-Qadr. So, these are some of the virtues that we are aware of as it relates to Laylatul Qadr. So now the big question that everybody says is, well, when? When is Laylatul Qadr? Well, the reality is that no one knows exactly when Laylatul Qadr is. Well, now we'll talk about, we can narrow it down. It's definitely not in Safar or in Sha'ban. Okay, so we can narrow it down. When is Laylatul Qadr? But there's a great wisdom behind not knowing exactly when Laylatul Qadr is. There's a great wisdom behind that. Because if we all know about these virtues of Laylatul Qadr, and we know exactly when Laylatul Qadr was, see, we already have a problem. And you know, they call them Jummah Muslims, huh? Like Sunday Christians. The Christians, they go to the church on Sunday the rest of the week. They don't know anything about Allah, they don't know anything about church, they don't know anything about Isa alayhi salam or anything. So this has transferred over, unfortunately, yani this disease has transferred to the Muslims. So we have the Jummah Muslim. Yani, I make it to Jummah, I'm okay. Al-Jummatu ila Jummah kaffaratun liman baynahuma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. From one Jummah to the next Jummah is an expiation for the sins that were committed in between. Alhamdulillah. In that same hadith, which is grossly misunderstood by the people who use it in that manner, in that same hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَرَمَضَانِ إِلَى رَمَضَانِ كَفَّارَةٌ لِمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. And from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan is an expiation for all of the sins that were committed in between them. So we have also the disease of the Ramadan Muslim, who only knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, and may even fast in Ramadan and not pray. And as a side note, whoever fasts in Ramadan and doesn't pray, then all they are is hungry and thirsty. There's no fast anyway. There's no fast for the one who's not praying. Then they forget the last part of the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Majtunibatil kabair." So long as the major sins are avoided. So Jummah to Jummah is an expiation for the sins committed in between, and Ramadan to Ramadan is an expiation for the sins that are committed in between. As long as one avoids the major sins. Is there a greater sin than making mockery of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, I'll just go on Jummah. This is mockery of the deen. Like, let's just say that no, they don't understand it's mockery of the deen. Is there a bigger sin than leaving off salah? Which to the majority of early scholars, from the Companions and the Tabi'een, is considered kufr in and of itself. Not just that it's kufr, but that the one that does it is a kafir, the one that leaves off the salah. So every Jummah after that, that person doesn't mind becoming a kafir, and then the next Jummah they become a Muslim. Yeah, this is playing with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just imagine, at least we have Jummah Muslims and Ramadan Muslims. Just imagine if we knew exactly when Laylatul Qadr was, we would have Laylatul Qadr Muslims. So there's a great wisdom in hiding and not knowing exactly when Laylatul Qadr is. And for the true believer, for the true believers, the ones who really want Laylatul Qadr, it is a means for them to push themselves for the entire 10 nights. For the entire, because all of the 10 nights are blessed. All of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other situations, He has favored the last third of something. Like the night. The last third of the night is favored over the rest of the night. And the last third of Ramadan is favored over the other times of Ramadan, those last 10 nights. It's not just because of Laylatul Qadr. So, all of these nights are nights that a true believer is going to strive in. But the fact that you know that one of them is going to be Laylatul Qadr makes you strive that much harder. In all of them. And so this is from the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, as it comes in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تحروا ليلة القدر في العشر الأواخر من رمضان. Seek out ليلة القدر in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And there's another narration in Sahih Muslim, the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, التمسوها في العشر الأواخر. Seek it out, or seek them out, or seek it out, excuse me, seek it out, يعني Laylatul Qadr, in the last 10. فَإِنْ ضَعُفَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَوْ عَجَزَ فَلَا يُغْلَبَنَّ عَلَى السَّبَعِ الْبَوَاقِ. But if one of you becomes weak or doesn't have the ability, then don't let him be overcome in the last 7. يعني don't let anything stop him from taking advantage of the last 7. So what we benefit from this, number one, we benefit from the Quran itself, that Laylatul Qadr is in Ramadan. It's in Ramadan, without a doubt. That's from the Quran. So, and just as a side point, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, in Fath al-Bari, he mentions that the scholars have 46 opinions about when Laylatul Qadr is. Now mind, it's only 10 days. Huh? They have 46 opinions about when Laylatul Qadr is. Some of them are obviously incorrect because they go directly against the text. Yani some of them, for example, mention that it's the 15th of Sha'ban. Yani that's outside of Ramadan. So we can definitely, from the Quran, we can narrow it down to Ramadan. And then from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can narrow it down to the last 10. So, seeking, but we benefit from these two hadith combined, yani the hadith of Aish and the hadith of Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, is that seeking out Laylatul Qadr and striving to do righteous deeds in Laylatul Qadr are to be done for the entire 10. But it's more likely to fall in the last 7. That's what we benefit from these two hadith if we combine them. So the entire 10 we should strive, but most likely it's the last 10. And some of the scholars have mentioned that you have to strive the entire 10 because any of the nights, because a lot of people think, well, maybe it's just the odd nights. You probably heard that, right? So the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, 27th, and the 29th. And some of them have even come with some numerology and said, see, Laylatul Qadr is 5 ayahs in the Quran. So it can be 5 nights. And Allahu A'lam, there's no evidence for this, but I've heard it in quite a few circles amongst people that attribute themselves to knowledge, so we should be aware of these type of things. No, Laylatul Qadr can be any of the 10. And this is the reason why. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said in an authentic hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas, Sahih al-Bukhari, listen to this because this is going to help us to understand why it can even be on the even nights. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, not just this evidence, but this is one of the proofs. He said, "Iltamisuha fil ashr al-awakhir min Ramadan." Seek it out in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. لِتَاسِعَةٍ تَبْقَى لِسَابِعَةٍ تَبْقَى لِخَامِسَةٍ تَبْقَى لِثَالِثَةٍ تَبْقَى. Prophet ﷺ said, when 9 nights are remaining, when 7 nights are remaining, when 5 nights are remaining, when 3 nights are remaining. This is the narration in Sahih Bukhari. If Ramadan is complete, meaning that it's 30 days, because a month may be complete or incomplete. They call it Tam, Shahab Nafis. Okay? Complete and incomplete. So, if Ramadan is 30 days, correct? 9 nights remaining puts us on what night? Huh? 22nd night. 9 days, if it was 30 days, take it like this. 30 days, 9 days means the 21st day, which is today. But the night is, because the night starts at Maghrib, the 22nd night. 22nd night. You can do it on your fingers at home or whatever. You don't have to worry about it here. I've done it already on my fingers so that you wouldn't have to. That means that with 9 nights remaining is the 22nd night. 7 nights would be the 24th night. 7 nights remaining. 5 nights, the 26th night, and so on. But if the month is incomplete, meaning it's 29 days, 9 nights remaining is the 21st night, 7 nights remaining is the 23rd night, like this. So we don't know how many nights are remaining, and therefore, all of the 10 are a possibility that it could be Laylat al-Qadr. So don't fool yourself, or don't be fooled, and think that you can take it easy on the 22nd, the 24th night, the 26th night. I'll take it a little easy, and then I'll go for it. No, all of the 10 nights, push yourself. To do every, because honestly, the fatigue that you feel, it goes away. Even the next day, 2 days later, you don't even feel, okay, you wore yourself out, and then it's over. But the virtue of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that night remains. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not cause the deeds or the reward of those who do good, the muhsineen, to go to waste. So whatever you do on that night, even if you burn yourself out the last 10, even if after the last 10 you need to take a couple days to just, you know, get your, you know, footing back, you know, it's okay, because if you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the entire 10 and you feel like you gave it your all, then inshallah ta'ala, you have definitely sought out Laylatul Qadr and worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therein. Sahih? I'm going to skip a lot of the difference of opinion, because as you can see, we can narrow it down like this. It is definitely, Laylatul Qadr is definitely in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It is most likely on the odd nights, and it could be on the even nights. Right? So that's the conclusion. If that summary is clear, then there's no point of going into a whole lot of detail, because yes, there are some of the companions like Ubay bin Ka'b who said it was on the 27th. There are others that say no, it's on the 21st. There are a lot of different opinions. But the correct opinion, inshallah ta'ala, is that it's not the same every year. It could be the same on certain years. It could be the 25th this year and the 25th next year, and then after that the 27th. But that it moves throughout the last 10. That it moves throughout the last 10. Some people ask, well, what are the signs? How can I know when it's Laylatul Qadr? Well, the reality is that it's not necessary to know when Laylatul, because honestly, the clearest sign that is mentioned is that the sun, the next day, that the sun comes up and is bayda, and it's white, and it doesn't have any rays, so the rays are not as pronounced and profound as they would be on other sites. So that, when do you know that? You know that during Laylatul Qadr or the next? Yeah, you're not even going to know that anyway until it's too late. So the whole point is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter. Yes, there are many things that have been mentioned where the Sahaba themselves, they saw it in a dream. And they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, as it comes a hadith of Ibn Umar, collected by Bukhari and Muslim, he said that, "I see that your dreams have agreed. Your dreams have agreed." Yani this year, particular year, that they all saw it during the last 7 nights of Ramadan. So there isn't really anything that we can say specifically that yes, this is how you know it's Laylatul Qadr. There are other things that mention that it is a night that is not extremely cold and not extremely hot. But that may be in some places and not in other places. And even the sun coming up, that was mentioned, how the sun comes up without the rays. Some of them, like Qadi Iyam, in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he said that it's possible that this was specific to that one particular time of Laylatul Qadr. And it's possible that it could be because of the amount of angels that have descended, that the rays are blocked from the sun, or that the rays are not as pronounced. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.